Show brought to you by PetSmart, where you'll find smarter solutions for healthier, happier pets.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
And callers, please know that you have agreed to allow your voice to be used either on radio or television. Callers to the Phil Hendry Show. Bobby Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association has joined us. Before we get into the legal challenge, you have, with a program called Empower the Children, you have taken over, basically, the lives of kids at Western Estates. This is a neighborhood community of people who own homes, and you've pretty much forced kids into what you call an attack or combat-style program.
Well, Phil, I don't think you understand.
Well, I have to say that maybe I don't understand, but you are taking children away from their parents. How is that legally possible?
Phil, first of all, let's begin at the beginning. Children today, we have seen over the last couple of months too many Amber Alerts. We have seen over the last couple of months...
But how does that allow you to say to the residents of your neighborhood, the kids, I'm taking over the so-called combat training of children?
Because there are children being abducted in this country and their parents cannot protect them. There, I've said it. And it was something that I've really avoided saying in all of the radio interviews and television interviews I've done. But I have to tip my hat to you, Phil. You got me to say it. American parents cannot protect their children.
Why do you say that? I mean, that's inflammatory.
You know, Phil, it may be inflammatory. We had an Amber Alert last week. Two children could have died were it not for the brave work of the Tennessee State Patrol. Another young lady lost her life in North Dakota. Other children losing their lives. It is obvious, Phil, the painful reality has come home to roost. American parents are not up to the task of protecting their children.
And so you've taken this task on yourself.
Yes, I have. Because you know something? I really feel, Phil, that great people make great events. And great events are driven by just the average person doing something. We teach the children at Western Estates combat skills that they can use. We call it self-offense.
Yeah, but you haven't answered my question. Now, I know you've got these kids trained in some things that are pretty nasty.
Well, what's happening to children is nasty, Phil. Amber Alerts are nasty. And the fact that their parents can't protect them. I've had a lot of very grateful parents basically say to me, you know something, Bobby? We appreciate you doing this for our children because we feel immobile. I think most American parents feel paralyzed.
You really do?
Absolutely. I think they feel paralyzed. Their children are out there in the world. They don't know how to protect them. Well, Steve and I have a great deal of experience with kids. We've got three teenage sons. We've got a lot of young kids that come to our house on weekends and hang out. We're very conversant with kids. We can talk to kids. They're comfortable with us. Unlike, you know, so for so many of them, they're not even comfortable with their own parents. So we hang out, and we talk. And, you know, a lot of the girls, they don't even know that I'm the same age as them. You know, that's how really comfortable they are with me. And from that, we tell them, you know what, your parents probably love you. I don't know. I can't say. But they can't protect you. And so we have you.
Look, Ms. Dooley, this after school combat technique program has you teaching children how to use piano wire, how to make a shiv, how to use a baseball bat, the construction of a zip gun, how to conceal plastic shivs in knapsacks. You are calling upon children in your neighborhood to learn things that are aggressively violent.
Because what's happening to children is aggressively violent. And
but you say that you have a right to do this because their parents are failing them.
Phil, how many children are being abducted and murdered and cut up and brutalized every day in this country? I don't even want to count them. And what are the parents doing?
And what if the parents don't want the kid in the program?
You know what? We go and we talk to the parents, and if they're still resistant, then unfortunately we take the child's decision. You know something, Phil?
I don't see how that's possible.
Well, the fact is, most of the parents are completely, they recognize they've failed, and they've recognized they need help. We've got the one family that, are you referring to the Lemners?
The Lemners moved into your neighborhood 4 months ago. They said they refused to have their child anywhere near these so-called combat classes that you're conducting, Ms. Dooley. And
well, everybody else in our neighborhood is allowing their children to come to it. The Lemners, I think, are those people that are going to, and forgive me for saying this, they're going to get a phone call from the highway patrol, and it's not going to be a pleasant one. They'll probably find their children somewhere. I don't know. Maggot-ridden, I just...
Oh, God.
Well, Phil, that's what happens to a lot of these parents.
All right, let me give our number out here. You've joined us mid-conversation, a lot of you. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association. So parents can't protect their kids?
No, parents are not protecting their children. Children are being abducted. Children are being brutalized. What I've done and what my husband has done is we're teaching them empowering techniques of combat. And we do it...
Why you?
Because, Phil, we're with it. We get it. You know, Steve and I are very now. We're very with it. We talk to the kids. I listen to, you know, some of my favorite music, the kids. I love to listen to Good Charlotte. I'm very much a fan of the old, in fact, today I was listening to the Beastie Boys, License to Ill. There are things that I just do that are very much, the kids are comfortable with.
And, all right, so you're with it, and you're down with the kids, and so you are going to teach the kids how to protect themselves, whether their parents like it or not. And that's I guess, the main problem that we're having here, Ms. Dooley. The Lemner family, they don't want their children learning this stuff.
Maybe they don't want their children to live, but I'm sick and tired.
We're tired of the Amber Alerts, Mr. Henry.
That's my husband, Steve. And
I'm familiar with Mr. Dooley.
Well, I couldn't say it any better myself. We're tired of the Amber Alerts. We're tired of dead children. Okay? I think the kids seem to want to listen to what I have to say. So if the children are at our house and they're saying, Ms. Dooley, hi, how are you? Are you, you know, I like your capris, I like your hair. Where'd you get those shells? I'll say, you know something, can I talk to you about something? Let's talk about really protecting yourself, because I'm sorry, it doesn't look like your parents want to.
And it, all right, I'm going to interrupt you here for a second.
They're killing the children, Mr. Henry.
They're killing our children.
Oh, hold on, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. I got a good relationship with my kids.
You know, Phil, you really don't...
Now, hold on for a minute. I got a good relationship. When I hear about another adult saying, your parents can't protect you, I get a little resentful of that.
Well, Phil, can you protect your children? Are your children safe?
I can protect my kids.
You think, and that is a big, big, big word, think. You think you can. Until the highway patrol calls and says, your child's dead. Now, I can tell you, Phil, that in my 38 years, I get along with children. And when it comes right down to it, I notice strange vans in the neighborhood. Most adults don't. Do you know that a van is what serial murderers use? They can murder, chop up, fully process, put into suitcases, and basically fling out a window the body of any number of children, all in the confines of a van moving at 55 to 65 miles an hour.
Ms. Dooley, I don't doubt that our children...
Well, you know something? I think you do doubt it. I think you doubt it. And thank God for parents like Steve and I who care.
I mean, we really understand that children are at risk.
We're very with it. We're very now.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley with this Empower the Children program, which teaches children aggressive combat technique, whether or not their parents want it or not. You're saying...
So, most of the people at Western Estates are in favor of it. They recognize they failed.
You're taking over their kids. Here is Catherine. Hello, Catherine. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley.
Hi.
Hi, ma'am.
Yes, I just wanted to tell you that you are completely wrong and out of your line.
Mm-hmm.
You have no business teaching any child how to become little terrorists. And
well,
if you you can even... remotely raise children, you are teaching other children to disobey their parents?
No, what I'm saying, Catherine, is this. As a parent, you have lost your ability to protect your children.
No.
Because of the Amber Alerts. Children
no,
are being chopped up.
Because children are taught, they're taught very special things in life. And that is one, to stay away from people like you.
Well, excuse me, I'm not chopping up children and abducting them. I'm teaching children how to protect themselves. When's the last time you took your daughter out into the garage and showed her how to gouge out
you
a man's eyes?
My children
to gouge out his eyes.
My children, matter of fact, fact, are raised on a daily basis. My mm-hmm. husband has a federal firearms license.
Mm-hmm.
Our children are taught safety. Safety first. Always and foremost, safety first, and that is
Catherine.
In every single situation.
We're not talking about stop, drop, and roll here. We're talking about an animal wanting to cut your child up into food.
You know what?
I'm sick, twisted, it's happening.
Well, wait a minute.
Everybody through this mm-hmm. life is going to chop children up.
For the majority
of this world, mm-hmm. there are decent, honest, church-going, God-loving, children-loving people in this world.
Oh, my God, you're naive.
Watch out for other people's children.
Oh, my God, Catherine, you're so naive.
You're really naive. We've seen a lot of the world.
I'll do it, Steve.
Are you kidding me?
Catherine.
I work in a prison mm-hmm. on a daily basis. I see the worst of the worst.
Those?
I am dealing with those sex offenders and those kidnappers on a daily
Catherine,
basis.
Catherine, I can tell you.
To teach children
mm-hmm.
to disobey their parents and to go out and learn how to use piano strings and things like that to defend themselves?
Catherine,
no.
I would rather a child...
If you are teaching those children,
yeah.
you are teaching them
mm-hmm.
to become terrorists.
Can I ask you a question?
You are teaching them to become violent little...
Is the host there?
Columbine little...
Is the host there? Is the host there?
Yeah, the host is here.
May I say something?
Yeah.
Catherine, you are setting your children up to become... something that a serial murderer has in an old gas stove in a cabin somewhere.
No, I am setting
yes,
my children,
your children
up to be promising adults.
Oh, my God.
There are cannibals out there. They eat the flesh of children.
You are the ones that sound like cannibals.
No, I'm teaching children how to defend themselves.
I have never in my life
mm-hmm.
heard somebody out there in the public speaking the disgusting things that you are.
Let me jump in here. This is Phil Hendry. You're saying that, and then we have to take a break, but Catherine, I should say Bobby, you're saying parents are not capable.
Phil, the kids come over to our house on the weekends, and they say, Miss Dooley, my mom is so lame, and I go, you know, tell me about it.
You're trying to live your teenage years through these kids.
How are you going to feel when your daughter's hair is being used as stuffing for some pervert's pillow? Yeah, so you don't think about that, do you?
Oh, my God.
I think your husband and you are the perverts. And if I lived in your state, and for those people that live in your neighborhood, they should be calling their local authorities to have you guys checked out.
Okay, Catherine, they can check me out while your daughter has already been tied up and dismembered in the back of a van. Thank you.
Oh, my God. That is the ugliest, most horrific image.
Woman.
I'm not sick and twisted. The bastards out there that are taking children
no.
and using them as sex toys and then tossing them into a ravine, those are the sick ones. I'm with it. The children trust me.
Oh,
all right.
God.
Catherine, thank you very much for your call. I do need to take a break. 1-800-449-8686. I don't think I've ever had anybody on my show say, guess what? All of you parents out there, you can no longer protect your children. I'm taking over. That is the view of one woman in Southern California, her name Bobby Dooley, who is the president of a homeowners association. She says there's so many Amber Alerts now, so many children going missing, so many children dying, that it's time she and her husband teach these children what they call combat techniques. And guess what? It's out of your hands now. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 2 feet shorter than models. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Phil Hendry Show, our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com, and our web address is www.philhendryshow.com. And on our show yesterday was Rudy Canoza, the owner of Je T'aime Lingerie on Ventura Boulevard, who was on to talk about Vicente Fox, the president of Mexico, pretty much laying the law down to President Bush. That's what he thinks. He thinks Fox put his finger in Bush's chest and said, you're going to legitimize all those immigrants in America.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to let him know that he is the poorest representative of his nationality I have ever heard in my life.
Are you Mexican?
I'm American. My husband is from Mexico. My children are both Mexican-American.
See,
my daughter is more intelligent than you. She's bilingual at 2 years old, and she's a better representative of her nationality.
Do you speak Spanish, Mr. Canoza?
Yes, no. I do.
Not you, Danita. Do you, Mr. Canoza?
No, I don't.
Why?
I forgot.
You forgot?
I have been speaking Spanish for 3 years because I chose to, not from my husband, but from other people,
but
from the dictionaries and everything else.
Yes,
you're telling me that I'm a better representative of your culture than
you are? No, you speak Spanish so you can order around the Mexican pool boy and the gardeners.
No. First of all, I have 15 acres with a boarding business. I'm the one outside cleaning stalls. I'm the one out mowing the lawn while my husband works so we can pay for our home.
Get the foghorn. See, these foghorns are driving me nuts, Danita.
I'm sorry.
Turn it off, please. God.
Okay, you want Spanish? No quiero Taco Bell. There, you happy? Good, sweet God. You know, Danita, your daughter is learning to speak Spanish so that when she is older and she becomes an American cow, she can tell all the Mexicans where to put the potted palm and how much fertilizer to put.
Bilingual? Do you know why she's bilingual? And the same with my 8-year-old son.
Because you forced her to be.
No, I don't. My daughter loves speaking Spanish, and she's going to have a lot more opportunities in this world than even somebody that claims to be Mexican like you.
Look, you know the only Mexican your daughter will need to know is dos más tequila.
No, the only important Mexican that she needs to know is her familia, como su papá y su mamá y su abuelas también. Nada como tú.
Hey.
You know what? I think you are.
Okay, now hold on with that.
I think you are actually intelligent. I think you have a degree in ignorancy.
When your husband comes home from work, does he say, "Donita, I'm home," just like Ricky Ricardo? That's what I say I hate about life.
And first of all, you dumbass, Ricky Ricardo was not from Mexico.
I know, but it's the same thing.
I know, but
they take you white women.
I forgot all you Hispanics look the same, right? And all you Negroes, right? That's
you know,
ignorant.
Donita, if you knew what was right for your daughter, you would teach her how to be a nanny. You would teach her how to be a nanny than teach the pig to put the baby to the nipple.
No, you wouldn't. I would teach her to whoop people's butt like you.
The only Mexican Spanish your daughter will ever need to know is dos tequila, mas sin salte, and that, you know, like, and they have the chimichanga today.
Phil Hendry Show. Comedy Gold.
It's called Restaurant Spanish. There he is. That's Rudy Canoza, and you can check out more of that on our website, www.philhendryshow.com. We drop those little cuties onto our website, and all that stuff's available in our archives, and to access it, all you need is a backstage pass. Guess what? It's only $6.95 a month. And the bread, you know, it's worth it because this is high-quality audio. You're not listening to some bootleg on some website someplace. You're not listening to something somebody recorded off of the radio from, you know, like 500 miles out. It's good quality stuff. We've got whole shows, whole hours. It's our website, the Phil Hendry Show website, www.philhendryshow.com, and it's available to you for $6.95 a month. Now, coming up, we're going to have Lloyd Bonafide talking about, what the hell is he talking about? Oh, the bunless meat. I don't know what the hell he's going to talk about that. And then we also have on our show, Phil Explains the Bullcrap with Frodo the Puppet. Our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. And lots going on in the world, including Sean Penn returning from Iraq, because guess what? He was a journalist over there. He was a urinalist over there. He went over to Iraq, peed all over our American troops, and came home to write about it. Oh, I know, yeah. No, excuse me, wait. He supports the troops, he just doesn't support what the government's doing to them. Oh, I see. You know, again, I'd like to just say this. Not too many people do. I appreciate what the guys and the women and everybody's doing over there in Iraq right now. I wish you continued success. I wish you continued success in the operations that you're undertaking in order to neutralize a terrorist cesspool and bring it into the 21st century to establish a permanent civilized presence in what is an otherwise uncivilized part of the world, I appreciate all of it. And Sean Penn's got some pair of balls on him. This guy went over to Iraq to be a journalist. See, back in December 2002, he just went where Saddam told him to go. And he reported all the stuff that was favorable for Saddam. Now, this turd is using the protection of the United States military so he can walk around and be a journalist. He's going to put American soldiers in harm's way so they can protect Sean Penn's ass while he walks around to dig up crap on those guys. That's what he's doing. Disgracing their mission. Criticizing the whole reason for it. I'd love to get that guy on the show, but, you know, he's an actor, man. He don't give no interviews, you know. See, he's Mr. He's playing it like Greta Garbo or Robert De Niro or something, or one of them fags. Oh, excuse me, Bob. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show, brought to you by Nissan and the Nissan dealer.
Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, I'm reading a little bit of Sean Penn's dispatch from Baghdad, and I said, you know, before I read any further, I want to get this guy's biography just so my suspicions, so I can confirm a couple of suspicions I have, and I see, yep, right there, didn't go to college. After graduating from Santa Monica High School, he skipped college and spent 2 years with the Los Angeles group Repertory Theater. See, Sean Penn thinks he's doing something original, but he's like so many co-opted, spur-of-the-moment sort of, these people that luxuriate in their opinion for the moment because, well, it's kind of different. He's just a knee-jerk, kind of an anti-Bush kind of a guy. That's all he is. He went to Iraq, huh? And he's going to talk all about it, huh? While American soldiers are flying Blackhawks over his rich ass. He's going to go over there, he's going to report on what's happening over there? You ain't going to report on anything, boy. What are you going to report on, huh? You think you've seen it, man? Born with a silver spoon shoved up your ass. Little movie actor. Then you go over to Iraq, while American soldiers, I mean real America, real guys that have really lived a life, are protecting your ass so you can get back home to Mommy and Junior while you, you know, send off your dispatch to the San Francisco freaking Chronicle. And they never had an original thought in their brains up there either. San Francisco, but it's a great town. You know, we're on in San Francisco, and I like San Francisco. I like going up there and eating the seafood. I think it's got great scenery. The city's beautiful. I think it is one of the most repressive, fascistic, totalitarian environments I've ever been in my life. If you fart in the wrong direction in San Francisco, you'll lose your job. You could lose your life. It is without a doubt. You want to talk about Baghdad by the bay? Yeah, when Saddam was running Baghdad, that's San Francisco. Baghdad by the bay. And the Chronicle sends Sean Penn over there because he's not going to say anything that goes against the prevailing thought, which is America is committing some serious, serious crime in Iraq. And he's Sean Penn. He's going to go over and he's going to get the story. And you know what's sad? I don't know how many people are bright enough to understand the, you know, to understand just how ridiculous it looks for a guy who was there a year ago, under the auspices of the Iraqi government, going where they told him to go, photographing what he was allowed to photograph, telling the story that Saddam Hussein wanted him to tell. Sean Penn, Saddam Hussein's boy, goes over to Iraq and tells the story that he wants him to tell. Now he goes back to Iraq and he's telling the same story. Only this time, instead of Saddam being in charge, Sean knows he has the freedom to say the exact same thing because those are American soldiers over there that are in charge. Americans are in charge. So while they're over there protecting this guy, I mean, it's incredible. Why are journalists allowed into that area? Well, they say because we have a freedom of information, freedom of speech, etc., the freedom of the press. The fact is there is not total freedom of the press, especially in military zones. Never has been, never will be. Never has been and never will. There is not, and I'm going to repeat this again, not total freedom of the press in military zones, never has been and never will be. Journalists complaining that they're not allowed access to information in certain military zones, it's one of those oxymorons. I'm a journalist. Why can't I get information? It's a military, occupied military zone. There's ongoing operation. There are ongoing military operations. You guys could get killed, and I suppose if you did, then it'd be our fault, right? But you know what? They let him cart his ass over there. He can tell all kinds of stories when he gets there about how he's braving danger. Sean Penn never braved danger in his life. He's never braved danger in his life. I'm willing to, you know what, I could take one look at that guy's face and tell you he's never gone through anything more dangerous than maybe a really bad case of the Tijuana runs on a Sunday morning. Now he's over there, he's racing through the countryside in a Jeep. He's hugging close to the American convoy. He sees the Black Hawks overhead. It's all so very dramatic and romantic. He's going to get the stories about the slums. He's going to talk to the people. And he's going to do something I guess he can't, you know, he hasn't been getting himself too much attention lately, so I guess he wants to do that. He wants it to be the late 1940s again. He wants the Hollywood 10. He wants the blackball. He wants that whole dramatic, romantic period of Hollywood history when there really was a serious blackball and there were really artists being blackballed for their opinions. This guy, and Gwyneth Paltrow opened her big fat yap too. She thinks that, well, maybe she shouldn't say the things she's saying because it could hurt her career. I said yesterday exactly what I meant to say. I dare anybody to tell me I'm wrong. It's hysterical when I hear these people say that, you know, the Bush administration is going to come down on them. These cats make nothing but dough. I ain't seen one Gwyneth Paltrow movie that hasn't been, you know, released by the studio. I don't think they're holding up any projects of hers. I don't think Bush has made a hotline call to see if Sean Penn can be, you know, basically cut loose in Hollywood. I mean, the guy just does whatever the hell he wants to do. It's more likely that I'm going to lose my job, you know, like I said yesterday about Margaret Cho making zipperhead jokes about Asian Americans, more likely I'll lose my gig than Margaret Cho's going to lose any work. Those cats say whatever the hell they want, man. They get whatever the hell they want. They're not losing any jobs. Guys that are getting fired these days either ain't getting the ratings or they said something that was offensive, and generally it was offensive to somebody on the, anti-war on terror side of the ledger. Honest to God, I said it. You know, we're doing that pilot for NBC. I was worried about that. I said, you know, why should I be on the air talking about all this crap? I believe in the war on terror. It's only going to hurt me, you know, over there at NBC. Then I had a conversation with them. They didn't give a crap, or so they said. Frankly, I don't care what they think. I don't give two hoots whether I have a TV show or not. This is important to me, and it insults the hell out of me. It obviously insults the hell out of the families of military people and anybody else that's got somebody over there putting his ass on the line that Sean Penn's over, and he's got pen to paper, and he am a journalist. He gonna write a story for the Chronicle. Why? Hey, man, even I got 2 years of college. Why don't you send me? Well, I ain't Sean Penn, I understand. U.S. soldiers today are not what you'd picture if you grew up on World War II movies. Think younger. Now add zits and access to email. What the hell is that? That's about the dumbest, most boring thing I've ever read in my life. Think younger, now add zits. Well, you know, the average age of the American soldier in World War II was somewhere around 25. So they were older, but the fact is, there were plenty of young guys. Every guy that I grew up with, when his old man was in the service in World War II, he was somewhere around the age of 19 or 20. Add zits? For Iraqis, there was no pro-war or anti-war movement last spring when the United States invaded their country. That, in their view, was a predominantly Western debate. They're used to war. They're used to gunshots. What's new in this tiny seed? What's new is this tiny seed and taste of freedom. They're used to war. Yeah, they're used to Saddam. Gaining the support of my family would be tricky. My reputation within our home is one of impulsiveness, hubris, and an overall bloated sense of my own survival instincts. Why don't you tell it the way it is, Sean? Your overall bloated sense of yourself. Your big fat ego. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Oh, yeah, here's one other little piece of news from the Gulf today, or from Iraq, that military suicides are way higher than they usually are. Now, military suicides have gone this year to somewhere in the neighborhood of 13.5 to 13.9 per 100,000. From 2 years ago, 11 per 100,000. So they're way higher, as you can see. Now, that's the big news you're going to be hearing today. What you won't hear is this. Military suicides are two-thirds the rate of civilian suicides. Do you hear what I said? In other words, military personnel, even now during the Iraq War, kill themselves at two-thirds the rate civilians do. Civilians are far more unhappy, it would seem, than people in the military, even during wartime. As much as they want to make our men and our women look like cowards, they're failing as far as, I mean, if anybody knows how to, you know, like read a statistic. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Lloyd Bonafide coming up to talk about those bunless burgers. And, of course, Phil explains the bull crap with Frodo the Puppet on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now Phil explains the bullcrap with Frodo the Puppet.
Mr. Hendry, today I have a question. When's a good time to start a child on sex education?
Well, Frodo, that's a very good question. I know that my kids in school received their first tuition in sex education in the fifth or sixth grade.
Really? That's very interesting. Fifth or sixth grade for sex education for children, huh?
Yeah, look, why are you interested?
Well, I want to know because of my son.
You have a son?
Sure. He's a thumb puppet.
Is that it?
Yeah.
So you got out that cutie, huh? He's a thumb puppet.
Yeah, my son's a thumb puppet. But I know that someday he'll be a finger puppet.
So every time I hit one of these lines like my son's a thumb puppet, oh Jesus. You got that some of that stinger music, huh?
Yes, I remember when I was a finger puppet.
Will you stop it with that horn? My son's a thumb puppet. Oh. Who's playing the trumpet?
I think it's Dickman.
Okay. All right, man. So, yeah, I think fifth or sixth grade, but you didn't give a crap.
No, I just wanted to get out the line.
Yeah, thumb puppet. Yeah. Oh, boy. All right, Michael Jackson. What's up with Michael? Well, Nation of Islam is hanging with Michael. They're going to tell him what it's all about. They're going to, you see, Jackson's now with the Nation of Islam. You know, the guy can do anything he wants with his life, but I feel it's my duty, not my duty, it's just my right to comment on Nation of Islam. I like talking about those guys. Nation of Islam, these guys are the biggest pack of clowns the world has ever known with their bow ties. Why don't you guys knock it off with that? Hey, here's one. Bow tie. Now, you see, what happened was this. Michael Jackson got nailed with this slander by this white woman and her kids. And so, finally, he realizes he can't trust anybody. And along comes Nation of Islam, which they usually do with a lot of celebrities, to co-opt their celebrity and to, you know, convert them to Islam or what they think is Islam. When you can convert it to Nation of Islam, baby, you ain't no Islam at all. And then they tell him you can't trust white folks, and they all blow, and this wish you should have known better, Michael. You should never have started hanging with the white devil. And now he's at a safe house? And what that basically means is if you go over there, then the fruit of Islam will kick your ass. And let me just say that again. Fruit of Islam? Nice name, guys. Now, the Nation of Islam, I don't care what they say. They got a problem with Jews. They don't like whites. And they're all just a very warped group of individuals. In the name of empowerment and pride for the African-American people, they've decided to not so much empower and make prideful as remember who the enemy is, baby. It's the Jew, which, of course, has naturally been the Jew for centuries, and the white man, the white devil. Now, knowing all of that, you can go out into life and, you know, really be happy. Jesus. Meanwhile, this Debbie Rowe opened her big fat trap. You know who she is? She's the woman that had the two kids, right? She says she's Jewish. She says she don't want her kids growing up as Islams. Well, guess what, Debbie? You ain't got nothing to say about it since you surrendered all rights to the children. You were just a rented uterus. Who are you kidding? She says in the last few days she's complained to friends that she doesn't want her children. Not your children. They're not your children. A woman's children are always her children. No, they're not. No, they're not. You have no right to them. You gave them up. Michael Jackson, I guess, has a right to them. I guess he can do whatever he wants with them. He could have them grow up in Nation of Islam, put those weird-looking veils on them, turn them into freaks. I don't know what the hell he's going to do with them. I guess it's all legal. Jackson and his kids are currently living in the most expensive safe house in history, a Beverly Hills mansion, rented, patrolled, and monitored by the group. But the reason Roe is upset is a surprising one, heretofore unknown. She's told her, these friends she's Jewish and that the children by birth are Jewish, too. No, they're not. Look, get off that kick when the mother's Jewish, the kids are Jewish. You gave up those kids. You know, you weirdos in Hollywood, man, every time you squat and take a crap and you call it art, you expect the rest of the world to get it. You expect people to kind of get your life. Well, we don't get your life. We don't have to get your life. You gave up your children. You mothered a couple of kids for this freak Michael Jackson. You took the money and you ran, right? Now all of a sudden you're weighing in. Why? Because you ain't getting enough publicity or something? What? I bet you want to see your name in all the newspapers. She's upset is because she's even more surprising. Jackson may have forgotten this if he knew it at all. He, baby, you know what? All he knows, he had a picture of you someplace. If she looks there, she looks okay. I'll go ahead and have a kid with her. There are many ironies here, starting with the fact that Rose signed away her rights when she gave Jackson these children. She's since been compensated handsomely. She hasn't seen Paris or Prince since Jackson moved the family from Santa Barbara to Beverly Hills. Well, she shouldn't. Of all of the sad, twisted, sorry realities of this story is this so-called mother. You ain't no mother, all right? You were the rented uterus. These kids, God bless them and God help them, they're with Michael now at a safe house where Nation of Islam is. These cats are no more Islam than I am. They wouldn't know Islam from canned ham. You is what you am. Get out of here with your freaky, twisted cult. You dig? And your violence. And your threats of violence. And your murder. And you might have helped somebody somewhere. I guess a guy got a job because he joined Nation of Islam, but I know what you guys are all about. This is one white boy that gets it, okay? No, I'm not full of hate. I don't hate black people. I just don't like, you know, you're like the Ku Klux Klan as far as I'm concerned. You're a bunch of extreme, twisted bastards. You're anti-Semitic. You hate people more than you love them. You got a hard-on for white people because we created all the hell and the misery on the planet Earth, which over the last 500 years, I'll give you that. But you know what? In total, a whole lot of people weigh in, baby. That's right. That's right. In total, a whole lot of people weigh in. Last 500 years, I'll give it to you. If any of you know how to read, you can pick up a history of the world, you can find out a whole lot about a whole lot of people. Now, I don't want any crackers and rednecks calling in and saying, yeah, Phil, you give it to them. You tell them how the black man used to enslave the white man. Because I don't think that's necessarily true either. And I don't need to have any phone calls on it, so I'm not even taking them. What I'm here to tell you is this. You may look flashy with your bow ties to a lot of dumbass black folks out there that don't bother to pick up a history book, but I ain't saying that white folks understand, because white folks are just as stupid as a lot of black people are. But I get it. You cats are a joke. You guys are a traveling con act. You were founded by some joke, some traveling Hoover salesman, some guy that was selling encyclopedias door to door. Then along comes that Elijah Muhammad, another con man, and along the way you've committed homicide, robbery, rape, all every kind of crime known to mortal man. And now you got Michael Jackson in a safe house. Ha ha! Good one. But you know what? If you let white people in, I'd join. Because I hear the food's good. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We had an interesting conversation with Justin McElroy, a high school junior, yesterday. He wrote an article for his school newspaper called Just Be My Mom, Not a Piece of Ass. Well, it was banned from the student newspaper. It was pulled from the school bookstore. Justin was on our show to talk about how his mother and her older friends jogging and going into McDonald's for the bunless hamburger embarrasses him, and he doesn't think his friends' moms are all that hot.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I know tons of 50-year-old women, and I can't think of a one who's interested in a undersexed 16-year-old boy, trust me.
Mature
women want men who can perform, and it's been my experience from learning things that 16-year-old boys can't cut it, trust me.
Oh, your experience?
So,
oh, my God, that's disgusting.
If you think
what do you
that
mean, your
women are interested in you, I got news for you. You are the last thing on any 50-year-old woman's mind.
You know, you should read my article. You'd be enlightened.
I wouldn't even dream of it. It's so ridiculous.
Hey, show me the way to your daughter. Show me the way to your daughter, and maybe we can talk. But I mean,
unbelievable. If you came to my daughter, I would move. That's for sure.
Well, I mean, I'm not attracted to you. Doesn't mean that I'm undersexed.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. No 50-year-old woman would be interested in any teenage boys, and the reason working out.
Well, I can tell you that right now I know of like two guys who's, you know, this other guy's. Okay, I'll tell you.
I would say those guys are unusual.
Don't make any names on the radio here, Justin.
Yeah.
I don't need the lawsuit, okay? You're telling me you know of mothers that have come on to guys?
Well, look, they're all disgusting. Oh. I mean, they think they're hot, you know?
You know what?
I'm not into cottage cheese on the thighs.
This is just his skewed point of view as an oversexed teenage boy, trust me.
Well,
these women are not interested in him. They're going into menopause. They know they're going to gain weight. They start exercising at that time in their life because they have been told by their doctors to do that in order to avoid the weight gain, which is dangerous to your health.
Are you a high school health teacher?
Yes, I am. In fact, I work with the felons in jail. I know a lot about kids with your type of attitude.
Do you come into class all like, you know, trying to show everybody everything you have and stuff? I mean,
you know what? I'm not interested in flirting with teenage boys, and most women I know are not.
Well,
you guys don't have any experience.
I know.
You have no money. You have no activities that we're interested in doing anything with whatsoever.
I know.
And for you to think that we would be attracted to you is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I know one teacher at our school, and she's a female. She does smoke checks in the boys' shower room. Yeah, okay.
Oh, well,
yeah.
I find that incredibly hard to believe in today's world when school districts are incredibly worried about teachers' reputation.
Yeah.
That behavior will
go on. That's going to get a lawsuit.
No, I swear to God, two guys on the water polo team said she came in to check them out.
No.
Okay,
I find
dude,
you can't
be sitting around doing a lot of gossip at school.
I bet this teacher bends over and drops the chalk and everything to show people your buns.
Okay.
I don't even know how to talk to this guy. He's amazing.
Are you one of those teachers that ride your G-string up high so you can see it like up over your big butt and stuff?
Oh, no.
Come
I'm
on, kid. Kid, are you just saying this because this is stuff you can't say to a teacher's face?
Yeah, of course, that's why he's doing it.
Mr. Sanders, I love my teacher, Mr. Sanders. He's my journalism teacher. Everybody at the district's a douchebag. But if they gave me an A+, if I get an A+, it's going to be for my sex ed teacher because I'm really good at that.
Okay, look at dude. I got to,
I'm just asking most of the teachers out there, if it'd be okay with you, please don't, you know, act like gross, and it'd be really nice. Are you hot?
Am I hot? No, I wouldn't consider myself hot.
Okay, well,
I'm
what
a
52-year-old
woman that's trying to be healthy.
Well,
I'm no different than many other 52-year-old women. If you think I'm exercising to be attractive to a boy like you, that's ridiculous.
Are your boobs real or fake?
He's so impressed with himself, Phil, that he's just got the wrong attitude.
I just want to know, are your boobs real or fake?
That's none of your business.
Okay, well, keep speed walking and call me when you get hot.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Justin McElroy, who is the editor, or not an editor, he's just a writer there for a student newspaper, and... Well, you know, he just doesn't want you doing that bunless hamburger thing, because now that they got the bunless hamburger, all these old ladies are, you know, all these ladies who, I don't know, according to him, they're hanging out and they're at places where teenagers just like to be themselves. You know, they just want to hang and they want to be with their friends. They don't want some old lady, coming in and having her bunless hamburger, I guess. Yes, sir, go ahead, Lloyd.
Yes, sir, I heard your comments about the bunless hamburger. And I wanted to weigh in, if I could, Mr. Henry. I fought in the Korean War, 1950-1952, and I will tell you this, sir, and you can take this to the bank, that I didn't fight in Korea.
Now, wait a minute, you just heard me talking about the bunless hamburger, and you're weighing in?
Well, I anticipated some of your comments, because that's what they were, the boy was talking about, wasn't he?
That's right. He did mention...
Burger King, I think it is. But let me tell you something. And you can take this to the bank, my friend. I didn't fight in Korea just for me to come home and have them kick me in the groin with a bunless hamburger. Now, sir, there isn't one thing we haven't corrupted in our culture.
They didn't kick you in the groin.
That's exactly right. To come home to this country... And to see that they corrupted and perverted one of the most decent all-American meals, a lettuce-wrapped burger, you might as well give me a broom handle and a steel-toed boot to the groin. And that's how I feel about that, and I certainly...
Well, look, at the mother, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, and I guess people want to eat healthy.
Well, I can understand that, and I'm not trying to say that I'm not into the new... I love contemporary music. I love, for instance...
What do you like in contemporary music?
Well, I love the Dave Matthews Band. I love, the song that he does, Grave Digger. Grave Digger, won't you dig my grave? You know, that's...
That is a very sad song.
Bull crap, I laugh my ass off when I hear it. Every time I hear that guy, Dave Matthews, with Grave Digger, I laugh my ass off. Jesus!
I guess he's not telling his wife how much my show sucks. Ha ha! Every time I hear Gravedigger, I laugh my ass off. You know, one of the things... Will you stop? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
So this is day two of my diet, and I don't know if I've lost any weight. I don't really want to check till the end of the week. I'm doing the Weight Watchers thing. As I mentioned yesterday on the show, and I want to reiterate it, I'm not being paid by Weight Watchers to talk about this. This is really important to me. You're used to an entirely different kind of radio show, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what you're used to. But I ain't on here doing any infomercial for Weight Watchers. They haven't had the common decency, if you want to be right. You want to get right down to it? Let me get right down to it. I use their product. Well, actually, I don't. My wife goes to the meeting, and then I steal her material. But I use their product, and I've touted it, and I've lost weight successfully, and they haven't had the common courtesy to give me one phone call. There. How's that for honesty? Let's get right down to it. I have talked about their product... Talked about the success of their product, and I haven't even been given the common courtesy of a phone call from the fat pigs at Weight Watchers. I bet you everybody on their board is fat. I hate them. I hate them all. I'm kidding, but they haven't called me. So I will continue to plug along on the Weight Watcher diet. So anyway, today... And what I'm doing is I get 35 points a day. See, here's what I get. I get 30 points a day. I get an extra 7 times 5, 35 points a week. So I add that 5 points a day. So I have 35 points a day. And I didn't use 13 from yesterday, so I started the day today at 48 points. So I've had a total of 3 tuna fish sandwiches with the 1-point light bread, which takes me down to probably about 41 points. Now I got 41 left. Then today we were at the studio recording some voice tracks for our animated pilot for Fox. And I was working for the very first time with a very lovely and talented Sarah Silverman. And she's a riot and a half. And I just wanted to drop that name. Just wanted to just throw it out there. It's not going to help me with anything. Doesn't give me currency anywhere. But I just wanted to drop it. Just to say I dropped it. Would you like to pick that up? And I had a burrito. They send out for food. They'll say, we're getting lunch, Phil. What do you want? Do they have a burrito that's all natural, is made with, yeah, sure, whatever you say. And who knows? They're going down to Greasy Joe's, Chicano Cantina. And who knows what they're getting me. I got a bean burrito. I mean, this thing was all black bean burrito. So that thing was okay. I mean, there's no way it could be 41 points. So gradually, slowly but surely, then I got to get on the trampoline when I get home tonight. Which means I got to go up and down 5 times like I did, and the neighbors are going to get scared seeing my bald head flying through the air. What are you doing, Henry? Are you actually trying to get healthy? Yeah, what's it to you? But Weight Watchers, just so you know, I will continue to be on the weight because it really worked for me. But you guys are something else. The arrogance of you clowns. Honest to God, sometimes advertisers, but they don't need it. Like, for instance, I talk about Starbucks in a very disparaging way. I'm having a Starbucks right now. I like their coffee. I hate their store. I hate your store. Including that guy that I talked to the other day when I went in to get coffee with the Swede. The Swede came up from San Diego to be with the family because it was football weekend, and we were Packer fans. So the Swede came up, and he went out and, you know, got coffee and all that crap. He and I can pretend like we're just two old gay lovers, and we go into Gelson's and shop for links. We shop for sausages, and it looks very, gay. And we ran in, of course, to our good boss, the great and venerable Craig Kitchen there at Gelson's. And that's always nice when you're hung over with a 5-day growth of beard and there's your boss all scrubbed clean, ready to go to Dallas. And he looks at me, well, hi, Phil, how you doing, huh?
Fine, Mr. Kitchen. I don't really drink on weekends. I'm sorry, sir.
And the Swede, God bless you, man. I love you and I've known you my whole life. But you look like you've been sleeping under a freaking bridge the last 4 weeks. You sure you're living in a house? So there we are. We're getting, potato salad and all of that stuff. So that was last weekend. That was the last day of me acting like a juvenile. And as of this week, I got onto the entire, Weight Watchers thing. But we stopped and we got Starbucks. That's what I was going to tell you. Look, I've said this before and I want to say it again in the nicest possible way. You guys that work at Starbucks are not movie stars. You make coffee. Quit coming on like, let me tell you something. When you're making coffee, it ain't that guy. It's this gentleman here that's standing there, not that guy. See, I said I'd like a coffee. Okay, and what does that guy want? What does that guy want? Listen, you coffee-making joker. With your spiked freaking hair and your 15 earrings, you're just so cute. You know what? I think I might want to make you my girlfriend. And people agreed. I said, I like the coffee. Can't stand going in the place. You go in there and they had all that merchandise. Do they sell half that stuff? The coffee pots, the stupid music, the imbecilic items that they sell. What is half of that crap? All of that pastry stuff. You know that, first of all, let me just say this. I'd rather lose the ability to taste anything than eat a scone. It's just one of those things about me. Scones to me taste like nothing. They weigh about a ton. It's like eating a soggy brick. You know, next time that coffee boy gets wise with me, I'm going to lay that Hannibal Lecter speech on him. You know what you look like to me with your good shoes and your bad bag? You look like a rube. A well-scrubbed hustling rube. Good nutrition's giving you length of bone. I bet you'll just stare at me, you know. But you're not too far removed from 2 generations of poor white trash. And oh, how the boys loved you with all those sticky, tired fumblings in the back seats of cars. And all you could think was getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI. And then he'll say, you want that non-fat, sir? Actually, it's more like this.
And all you could think about were those tiny, sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars. And all you could think of was getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
The Hannibal Lecter Show! Yeah, you laid out on me, coffee boy. Make my freaking coffee. Don't be giving me your Tom Cruise in cocktail speech. So, yeah, so, then we, you know, then we get on the diet, and it's a beautiful thing. I really like it. I mean, I'm not hungry right now at all. I may go home and, you know, honest to God, I ain't hungry. Although I did see this ad. This is the stuff that drives me nuts. Frito-Lay touts low-carb tortilla chips. Yeah. Frito-Lay plans to sell a new lineup of tortilla chips with fewer than half the carbohydrates in the company's regular chips. First of all, the best chip to eat on the Weight Watchers, seriously, you know what it is? Pringles. Yes, 16 Pringles chips, 1 point. So, like, I'm telling you, I got 39 or 41 points left for the whole day. It means today I could go home and I could eat 86 cans of Pringles and I'd be great. The other thing that's cool about Weight Watchers, popcorn is like 1 point. So I go home, I make all the freaking popcorn I want. A steak is going to be 16 points, Jim, so I can knock out, I can have myself two steaks when I get home. A whole box of that Zatrain's rice, that stuff's only like 8 points. So I could sit there, it's you know, I don't know, it may get tougher the more exercise I do. I understand that if you exercise, you get hungrier. But if you exercise, you get more points. So, they're, you know, it's really cool. But anyway, the Frito-Lay unit of PepsiCo Incorporated is joining the glut of restaurants and food manufacturers rushing to meet demand spurred by Americans' enthusiasm for the low-carb diet. This low-carb diet thing, I'm not a total believer in it. I know it's helped a lot of people. And I heard Dr. Atkins during his life say that the reason why he developed the low-carb diet, the Atkins diet, was because he had patients who were going to die. They literally were going to die if he didn't come up with some way for them to lose weight and not have to make them diet. So Dr. Atkins, and like all great ideas, he took nothing but crap for it throughout his life until he died. By all these other brain surgeon doctors who thought they knew better, and they wouldn't know how to cross the freaking street if the light was lime green. So now everybody's into this low-carb thing. Me, I'm not into it. Me, I'm doing that Atkins deal, baby. Or, I mean, I'm doing that Weight Watchers thing, because I happen to like eating salads and apples, and, you know, I dig that. And on the Weight Watchers, you can eat as many damn salads and apples as you want. Well, I don't know if it, no, it's not apples, but like green vegetables, which is really cool. I can have the huge salad. I can go home and have a cucumber. I'm kidding around. No, I mean, chop up a cucumber, put a little salt on that baby. That's a nice late-night snack. Hardee's and Carl's Jr. fast food chains are launching a bunless lettuce-wrapped burger with fewer carbohydrates. While Burger King said this week its Whopper sandwiches will now come in bunless versions. Subway is advertising low-carb sandwiches. A variety of low-carb products have sprung up in supermarkets. The snack maker, Frito-Lay, whose products have long been criticized as tasting like poo, have recently... No, I'm just kidding. Have long been criticized by nutritionists... Have recently rolled out chips with less fat or no? Yeah, those baked chips. Not. Oh God. The most horrific chip on God's earth is that baked Lay's potato chip. I'd rather just go ahead and go to my death now. I'd rather just go ahead and take me now. Because if you're gonna bake everything from here on out, friend, I'd like just a small speech. I'd like maybe just some gentle music coming from the choir loft, like maybe. And then lay me to rest, my brother. Lay me to rest. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This This is the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Workplace theft and workplace conditions is the theme of this hour in the Phil Hendry Show. Robert Green joins us, who has had a confrontation and a possible civil suit filed against him by one of his employees. Mr. Green is the CEO of Fraser Foods. He's also the manager of their Buena Park store, which is essentially a grocery store. Is that right, Mr. Green?
That is correct. We are a grocery and high-level, high-chain store. We deal in household goods as well as food, groceries, dry goods, etc.
Now, sir, you have a problem with one of your employees, and that has to do with the workroom, the lunchroom, and her preparation of food?
Let me back up, if I could.
Well, is that the problem? This lady, whose name is not to be released by her attorney, but she allegedly claims that you allegedly took some food that she was preparing in a microwave in the lunchroom at your grocery store for your employees, and you threw it in a sink. You don't deny that, do you?
No, I've never denied that. I've never denied that. What my attorney has been arguing, that we have the right to take that food out of that microwave and throw it into the sink, because it is a violation of the lunchroom rules that we have for our employees, and that is that only cold lunches are eaten. I've said this, this will be the sixth time I've said this to the media that has called me.
Well, you'll forgive me, I'm the first, you know, person.
No, I understand. It's just, we do not allow hot lunch, what I call a European-style lunch.
All right, this woman was preparing a hot lunch in a microwave. Why do you have a microwave then?
We have a microwave, as I have said to other news media, we have a microwave in our lunchroom for employees who want to heat up coffee, heat up tea, make hot chocolate, or for a break in the afternoon, make popcorn. Not to eat a hot lunch, which we call a European-style lunch.
Can I interrupt here and ask you?
Well, I want to finish by saying that I've been made out to be the villain here, and I speak for literally thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of employers. The highway robbery that's going on today is uncalled for, since today's worker's never been treated better, but they still put a gun to your ribs, and they still treat you as if they're rolling you, and you're nothing more than a cheap John. We have a lunchroom where people bring sandwiches only, and they can bring a soft drink, and they can bring a salad from home, and whatever they can sit and eat, and then they get up and they go back to their job. We don't let people bring in spaghetti in Tupperware. We don't let people, and this was the...
Well, a lot of... this is where I've got to jump in and ask my question.
Certainly.
A lot of people bring to work lunch in... are you at work right now?
No, sir, I'm not. I'm having a late lunch with some friends of mine, and your producer called me here.
All right. You do not allow what you call European-style lunches. That's a hot lunch?
That's a lunch that's hot. That's like stroganoff, that's spaghetti, that is chili, that is lasagna, that's European-style. That's not what we do in America. I'm personally tired of having employees come in with their little Tupperware cup full of some stew that maybe they made at home. Good for you. I'm glad you made stew. You don't bring it into my store, and you don't bring it into my lunchroom.
I think the question is why?
Why what?
Why won't you let them heat up their lunch? Why do they have to eat?
Because, first of all, the hot lunch is something that is from Europe, Mr. Henry. It is not an American tradition. It is not colloquial American. Americans eat cold lunches. We eat sandwiches. We eat salads. We may have a hamburger. We may have a hot dog. But it's something that's very quickly prepared, and it's cold. And you don't need a kitchen and a microwave to do it. I don't think I have to remind you or your listeners what the Europeans did to us during the Iraq War, the fact that they basically sold us out, the fact that they let us twist in the breeze while they stood by to see what was going to happen in Iraq. We have millions of reasons why we don't like the idea of Americans eating European-style lunches. On top of that, it takes away time to prepare the lunch. You have to heat it up. You take the cover off the Tupperware. You mix it around. You heat it again.
All right, okay, I get the idea. It's taking away time from...
Well, I'd like to finish if I could.
All right, let me give our phone number, okay?
Certainly, but I would like to finish because this is not a peccadillo of mine. This is not some idiosyncrasy. This is something that has worn on my nerves and grated on my ability to be a good employer, as well as many others.
All right, Robert Green is with us, the CEO of Fraser Foods. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Green believes that people heating up their lunch in Tupperware containers in a microwave in the lunchroom you don't think it's wrong?
Well, I think it's wrong from a standpoint that it takes time away from other jobs. I think it's wrong because it's not what we do in this country. I think it's wrong because the food they bring in smells horrible. And that is no joke. And a hot European lunch will explode all over the walls of the microwave. They leave a filthy microwave.
Well, all right. I understand that. So you have been sued. There was a job action?
No, this went before the California Labor Board, sir. This is not a lawsuit.
All right. It went before the California Labor Board, and you have been told that you basically threw away the prepared lunch of a diabetic woman.
I'd like to back up on that.
All right, hold on for a minute. You were accused. Did you not throw this woman's lunch away?
Yes, I did.
All right. Now, the woman was diabetic. She is an employee.
She's one of our checkers. I don't want to give her name because it's still being reviewed by the California Labor Board. She's one of our checkers. She's not all that great. She's often late to the job.
Is she truly late to the job?
Well, she's not the greatest checker in the world. And
is she diabetic?
Could I just say?
But do you know her to be diabetic?
That's what some doctor she hired claims. So, but let me tell you about the diabetes scam. Employers have got a gun held to their head by the diabetics of America because they claim I got to stop down and give myself a shot. I'm the father of three children. I see somebody stick a needle in themselves, and Mister, you know,
are you aware that diabetics have to give themselves shots of insulin?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, then what do you mean? You're making a drug reference, aren't you?
No, what I'm saying is a lot of people use that as an excuse to take a 5-10 minute break, and they got a needle, and I don't know what's in it. They say they're diabetic. I don't know what's in it. And so they want to get hopped up on my time. And
do you suspect that this woman is getting hopped up on drugs rather than shooting herself with insulin?
I don't know, but I will tell you this whole diabetes thing, there's far fewer diabetics than they claim. And they always say they need a special meal, and I got sick of it. And I saw her cooking this thing up in my microwave. I bought it at Circuit City. And I said, only hot chocolate and coffee, and there it is.
So you walked over to the microwave, according to this, her complaint.
Yeah.
You opened the door, you took her food out, you threw it in the sink. And then this girl had to go and eat some kind of a meal that was not safe, and she almost went into diabetic shock. Or what is called insulin shock.
That's what the doctor claims, and you know what? They're going to have to prove that. And my lawyer, when they get them on the stand, will make them sweat buckets, because I want to make sure whether this is true or not.
You don't think she's diabetic?
No, sir, I do not.
1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Robert Green, who does not allow his employees to eat a hot lunch in the lunchroom. He doesn't like them bringing in Tupperware containers filled with lasagna. He doesn't want them using it at all. He calls it a European-style lunch. He says that it often smells up the workplace, and that in point of fact, it's a way for people to just be lazy and waste time. Let's go over to Jesse here. Jesse, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, this guy's a idiot.
This is one question I want to ask. Do you work in a place where they have one of these things? Jesse, I'm talking to you.
I work at a restaurant. We have microwaves. We have hot food. I'm a manager there, okay? I let my people eat whatever they want as long as they come back to work on time and they do a good job for me. Good employees deserve a good hot meal if that's what they want.
What shift are we talking about?
Excuse me?
What shift are we talking about?
We're talking about it could be 4 o'clock in the morning when my first person comes in.
Well,
and
you know what? I'm talking about lunch. I'm talking about people that work during the day. And lunch is not a hot meal.
No, lunch is not hot. Lunch is whatever you want to eat as long as you can get back on time and you do a good job.
And that's my point. These people dawdle over the microwave. They stir it up. They taste it. It's not good enough.
A time issue. You don't have a food issue.
No, it's all about the... No, I cut right to the heart of the matter. It's the microwave. They're fooling around with the microwave.
Why do you
even have it there in the first place?
I said, and I guess the lady wasn't...
Many people are not listening all the way through.
I said it's because they can heat up their coffee, their hot chocolate if they want, or tea. That's it. No more.
All right. Right, Jesse, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green is with it.
Look, lunch is a sandwich. It's a wrap.
You're calling it lunch in America is supposed to be cold.
Yeah, you don't bring in your Tupperware with some chili, you know, that your mother-in-law made. Lunch is a slab of bologna on a one-week bread. I'll tell you what I have. I have a wonderful Washington State apple and a power bar. Because I found out, Phil, and thank God I did 6 months ago, I've got high cholesterol. And so what I eat is the power bar and the apple, and then these employees come in with this lasagna that smells like
this is a diet issue with you, then.
No, it is not. It's a time issue, but they also bring the lasagna in to tempt me to get off my diet. There's a lot of stuff going on here, and that's what I want. That's why I want to get in front of a judge.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green. He is the CEO of Fraser Foods. They have a lunchroom. I'm sure many of you have lunchrooms, and many of you have a microwave in your lunchroom, and you bring in food sometimes to heat up in there. Mr. Green contends, and his lawyer contends, American lunches are cold lunches, not hot lunches. The Europeans turned their back on us during the Iraq War. That's one reason. Number two is people use this to dawdle. Number three, it stinks. And number four, it's tempting to him because he's on a diet. Now, he is accused of having taken a woman who is diabetic, taken her lunch, and thrown it down the sink when she was heating it up. Now, diabetics need a specific kind of food. That needs to be said. It has to be low in sugar, etc. So to do that could be potentially very, very harmful. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back with Mr. Robert Green on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Whore.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we have Robert Green, who is the CEO of Fraser Food. He's an employer who is in a battle right now with an employee for having thrown out her hot prepared lunch. You don't want anybody making hot lunches in the microwave in the lunchroom. You've said it's because, one of the things you said is because you think that it is a European-style lunch. And I don't quite get that. What's wrong with that?
What we feel is wrong with it, Mr. Henry, is that a hot lunch bespeaks a level of weakness. If you have to have a hot lunch, you know, you want to ask, what's your problem? Because you get a hot dinner, you have a hot breakfast, and the hot lunch is a reminder of these sickly kids and the way have to have their hot soup. We're Americans. We eat sandwiches. We get on with it. You know, and this hot lunch thing, the other problem, though, Phil, that I mentioned to the producer and that I mentioned to other media, when people bring lunch to work in the microwave, they're all looking at each other's lunch. Oh, what do you have? You have lasagna. Oh, look at you. You have, you've got baked beans or some. And I stand at the door, and I've got a line at a checkout stand while I got two checkers standing there looking at each other's stew. And I can tell you, it has caused at least two episodes of heart palpitation for me. And I was also put on two forms of beta blockers because I walked into a lunchroom one day and there was a guy, a man, 6'5", and one of my stock guys, microwaving a beef stroganoff like he was some kind of a weakling and a sissy. So,
all right, so you think hot lunch is sissy? Isn't that a juvenile term?
I wouldn't call it sissy. It's just hot lunches for weak people.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Breanne, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment that people with diabetes are not putting on a hoax. Diabetes is becoming a national epidemic. I am a diabetic right now, and the fact that I do have to put insulin in, sometimes it took a long time for me to get the courage to even do the shots myself. And for him to say that he thinks it's a hoax, it's not.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
What's with the needle? You have to understand that as an employer, red flag goes up when one of my employees takes a break to go to the bathroom and shoot up.
Okay, it's not shooting up, it's injecting insulin. It's something your body needs or it can't function and you will die.
But you understand what I'm saying. When an employee goes into the bathroom and goes into a stall...
The fact that an employer is that naive to not realize that someone has to take insulin...
Well, that's a good... Yeah, that's a great point, Brianna. An employer should know... Health and Human Resources should understand.
Mr. Henry, I pay my insurance and my employees are well taken care of. But don't you think, and I'd ask this young lady, that this is a perfect cover for some guy that wants to get hopped up?
No, not at all, because, I'm sorry, for where I have to inject my needle, can tell someone who is a needle user they have track marks on their body. My injections go into my thighs, they go into my stomach. You will be able to see someone who is a needle user. I'm sorry,
I'm also
an overweight person who has to take insulin. Have you ever seen someone who's been hopped up on drugs?
Okay, here we go. That's your excuse for heating up 2 pounds of stroganoff. Is that it? Because you're diabetic? See,
sir, did you hear, Mr. Green, with all due respect, the lady is diabetic, and that can cause some form of obesity.
Well, she's overweight, which can, you know... And she says she's diabetic to cover up for the fact that she's bringing in pot-roasted mashed potatoes and everything into work.
Okay, sir, also, who do you think the country was founded by? That's right, Europeans.
What, fat people?
Who eat hot lunch. And you know what? What do you think your forefathers ate? They ate hot lunch. They didn't always have sandwiches and bread.
Ma'am, I don't know that that's true. I think our forefathers, hot lunch, they shot a beaver down by a creek and ate it raw. That's what they did.
No, they didn't.
Well, ma'am,
I don't know that we can argue whether our forefathers ate a hot lunch. Excuse me, but you're saying that hot lunch is European.
It is decidedly European. I was in the army in Germany, and every day it was this sauerbraten this and something else. It was always hot. I'd say, where can a man go and get a decent bologna sandwich? And I just want to get on with my life, and I don't want to sit down with you and look at your steaming bowl of potatoes. So,
well, Mr. Green, is there any point in arguing this diabetic? I've got a lady on the line here who's diabetic. You think that...
I don't doubt that this lady's diabetic.
All right. But you're saying that she's using her obesity as an excuse that she could eat mashed potatoes.
Not this lady. I think some people claim that. That's all. And forgive me, Brianna.
So what about your skinny employees who feel the need that, you know, they're hungry and they want to eat a nice, you know, good meal for lunch?
What do you mean?
A sandwich is not always healthy.
What do you mean our forefathers ate hot lunch? I don't understand. Our forefathers did not bring some slop in a plastic bowl that smells like cooked pet.
No, they took at least a half hour every day out of their lives to stop and eat.
Yes, ma'am.
Go back to their homes where their wives cook them a meal.
Sandwiches.
Sit down.
Sandwiches and salad. Sandwiches and salad.
Well, we don't know that.
They didn't have lettuce back then.
The chicken kiev.
They didn't use lettuce.
Chicken kiev and corn on the cob is for dinner. It's not for my workplace.
All right, Brianna, I think you made a very good point, and thank you for bringing up the diabetic angle,
thank
too.
Thank you.
Thank you. 1-800-449...
Mr. Henry, my point is, eat, yes. Shoot up horse. Use this as an excuse to be somebody's smack mule in my grocery store? No, sir. No, sir.
Mr. Green, you're using terms like smack mule and horse. Diabetics. A smack mule is somebody that's ferrying drugs in.
I know what it means. And I can tell you, Mr. Henry, in response to...
Are you suspecting your employees of bringing drugs in for other people?
I will tell you this. The young lady said she's diabetic and she shoots between her toes. Now, I got a brother-in-law who is now on his fifth methadone program. That's what this clown used to do. Between the toes, you know, in the back of the hand, all the tricks. So I need to know as an employer, if you're a diabetic, then you better prove it some way other than going into the bathroom and needling up and strapping up and needling up on my time.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hot lunches. Are they American, and should you be allowed to bring some Tupperware food in from your home and heat it up in a microwave at work? They have microwaves at work, and many places allow people to have a hot lunch, a lunch that they brought from home.
Mr. Robert Green is with Fraser Foods. They do not allow it at Fraser Foods. A young lady, a diabetic, came in with some food that she was attempting to heat up. Diabetics have a very specific diet. He took it out of the microwave and threw it in the sink. And I am also led to believe that you do surprise visits on the lunchroom. Is that correct?
I do surprise visits on the lunchroom, Mr. Henry, when I suspect people are violating the policy of bringing in one of these European-style hot lunches using the microwave when I said that they couldn't. All right? And what I do is I will emphasize the rule. I will take the food out of the microwave. I will...
You take it right out.
Yes, I will. We have our lunchroom is three floors above the parking lot, and that is the public parking lot. I would tell you something right now. If you insist on breaking the rule, I take food and I throw it out that window right onto the parking lot where customers are coming in. So they see food splattered everywhere, and I say to the employee, that's you that's being humiliated right now.
I got to tell you something, Mr. Green. If I'm shopping at your store and I walk to the front door and I see food flying out of a fifth floor window...
Well, you know, you find it amusing.
I don't mean to laugh.
You find it amusing, but the wasted time on somebody standing over their beef stroganoff or their cup of noodles that they brought from home, you know, to my way of thinking, now that is...
I heard a bell or something.
That's a microwave bell. When I hear that, I know someone is trying to stick a gun in my ribs and rob me. Okay, I'm going to find out.
Well, you're in a restaurant right now.
That's correct. It probably came from the kitchen.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Lisa, go ahead. You're on The Phil Henry Show.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Do you pay your employers why they're eating lunch, or is that they're not paid?
My employees?
Yes.
Well, they're allowed a lunch break.
Okay. Do you pay them for that lunch break?
Why would I want to pay them for sitting there and shoveling food? I don't understand.
Then if you're not paying them, they should be able to eat whatever they want to eat during that lunch break paying them.
Oh, but it's my lunchroom.
Then are they allowed to leave the area?
No, they're not.
They're not getting paid. They should be able to.
Well, they've got to be ready to get on the cash register, especially during the summertime when we do have the big crowds. We have to open up registers all the time. I don't allow them to leave the premises at all.
If they're not getting paid,
Wait, I want to understand something. If I'm an employee, I take my apron off. And
you go directly to the lunchroom. See, that's a microwave bell. And I would ask that not... I don't know who's doing that. Yeah, ha-ha, but it makes me angry.
Well, if you're not paying them during their time off, then they should be able to do whatever. That's my point.
Well, ma'am, first of all, they got to get to the register, so where am I going to find them? I got to go across the street to Burger King and get them out of there?
They're out of there... For half an hour, they should be able to be wherever they want to be.
How long is the lunch break?
It depends.
Well, what do you mean it depends? If I work for you, do I get an hour?
You could get an hour on some days. It depends on what I decide. People will come in and say, today you get 5 minutes for lunch. It's very busy. Tomorrow you don't get any lunch. Today, you know, 2 hours. But the one thing you'll never do is bring a Tupperware with some slop that you think is smelling good. And I can smell it all the way down to the front of the store.
Well, I think your power bars at Apple's taste like not very good either.
Ma'am, I'm not making you eat them, and you can't smell them.
Okay, they're not making you eat their food, and they should be able to walk off premise and eat whatever they want to eat.
They're making me smell whatever that goat stew is they're eating or whatever. I got a lot of, and I say this with the kindest of respect, I've got a lot of Middle Eastern employees because we're in a highly Arab neighborhood where I work.
You sound prejudiced to me, is what you sound.
No, ma'am, I am not. But why do they get to bring in this Arab stuff that they eat?
Why did you get to bring in an apple and a power bar?
Because I'm an American, and that's what Americans eat.
Wait a minute. This lady just made a good point. Who cares if they bring in their Arab food?
Because the Arabs, and the God bless them, they're hardworking people, but they eat food. When you smell it, you want to die. You want to commit some kind of suicide. Now, I'm not kidding you. And it's goat, and it's every kind of animal that they find. I won't have it.
It does sound prejudiced to me. Thank you very much, Lisa.
Well, sir, I don't appreciate the accusation.
Well, you're saying you don't like the Arab employees bringing the stuff in. 1-800-449-8686. Denise, go ahead.
My point is also, as Lisa's, half an hour break, you have no right to tell them what they may eat, drink, or otherwise. Coffee's European. Tea is European. then if you don't want people using your microwave, get rid of your microwave.
Is, the fact is, the microwave is there, and my rules are the rules are the rules. I don't know what to tell you.
All right, well, you're the lady is diabetic.
Tons of unemployment for your attitude when people quit on you, and you're going to lose your
You can't collect unemployment when you quit, so next question.
Well, if they have good reason to, and you're a raving lunatic.
They don't
I don't know who would work for you.
There's no good reason for quitting.
I don't know who would work for you.
Why? I pay very well. We have one of the highest grocery store sales ever.
And I worked for 15 years in a multi-million-dollar fast food business where we sat down and ate only when we had to, but we were allowed to eat whatever we wanted to.
Only when you could, though. See, they wouldn't just give you an hour-long deal, right?
And we could eat whatever we wanted to.
Well, where would you work for, if you don't mind me asking?
I worked for a very well-known food chain in Buffalo, New York for 15 years, and I was a manager.
Well, what was the name of it?
I'd rather not say.
She doesn't want to say because I think I know, and their food was horrible. And I could, don't worry, well, why didn't you eat there then? Why'd you step out and eat someplace
else? I worked there for 15 years. I was also a manager for 15 years.
Why didn't
years.
You eat there? We've got a wonderful deli. We got a special on beef tongue. Why don't they eat down there, my employees? No, they don't want to.
And your power bars, I mean, bologna's full of high fat.
That's a solid American lunch. That's a solid American
lunch. Well, you're prejudiced.
Why am I prejudiced?
And you're going to lose in court. You're going to be hung to dry.
What do you eat for lunch? Let me guess.
Whatever I want to eat.
Mashed potatoes and big, thick Polish sausage.
I just might.
Yeah, you know what?
You're prejudiced.
You work for me, I'll take that and I'll throw it across
the
street.
I would never work for you. And you know what? You'd be wearing it if you took it away and you threw it.
You'd be wearing it, buddy. You're going to attack me, huh?
Because you're attacking people.
You got a thing for Italian sausage, and so you're going to hit me with it.
Yeah, you bet I do.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. I'll bet you think about it all day long.
And you'd be wearing it, and I'm surprised you even have three kids. Your wife probably couldn't. She probably had to lay there and stay still while conceiving.
Get a load of you.
Breathe and drink.
Yeah, and how can any man... How did your husband stand making love to you? How did he put a nose...
I bet you put a clothes peg on his nose.
Yeah, double rubbers his...
Okay.
Three times a night. Are you awake for it? Probably not. You know something? I don't like women laughing at me. That's another thing. I've got checkers that are females, and they laugh at me, and I get angry about it.
Oh, gee. God forbid you should get angry. God forbid you should get angry. You'd be wearing that food if you put it in the sink.
Tell you what.
You'd be wearing it.
I tell you what, if your husband ever can get into the same bed with you after you eat your mashed potatoes and beef stroganoff for lunch, you give me a call. God.
Yep, and I'll be licking it off, too.
All right, thanks. 1-800-449-8.
That's an example, though, Mr. Henry, of employees who laugh at an employer. They laugh at me. Now, if they bring that slop into my business again, I take it. And I,
well, the lady said you'd be. She said you'd be wearing it.
Oh yeah. Well, then she's fired.
Well, you fire her, then you do have to pay unemployment.
No, I do not, because I had good cause to fire her, because she assaulted me by throwing it, and she's going to throw that in my face. And what if I get infected by the crap she eats?
Well, I don't know, sir, but I do know that you came across rather prejudiced with that Arab food.
Mr. Henry, the Arab people are wonderful, wonderful people. Other than the ones. And I think you know who I'm referring to. The only problem I have with them is this stuff they bring in Tupperware for lunch. It smells like they caught something out of a camel's ass.
All right, I'd ask you to watch your language on my show, sir. I have tried to treat you with respect.
I'm sorry. Forgive me, Mr. Andrew, but I'm a little bit angry. This hophead is suing me.
She's not a hophead. She's a diabetic. Just because she uses a needle doesn't mean she's... Here is Shirley. Go ahead, Shirley. Shirley?
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
All right. Excuse me, but you know, you have this problem with people in microwaves?
No, I do not, ma'am.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't
know. How do you eat your food? Do you eat all bologna sandwiches and salads 24/7?
I eat hot food at dinner and lunch and breakfast, and I eat a cold lunch, which is the way Americans do it.
Who's American? Who's American?
Well, tell you what, my family...
I'm American. My family's been here for 189 years.
Well, it's not as long as my family...
And we all ate bologna sandwiches.
You eat bologna sandwiches, yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's American.
We ate them. We don't eat them.
You ate
real food. okay?
Oh, wait a second. What do you call real food?
Real food, something good for you. Not a damn little piece of meat and two pieces of bread.
So there you go. At lunch, you haul in 3 grocery bags of slop that I got to cook for you, and then you go to, you waddle down to the checkout stand? No.
Oh, well, why not? You know, I bet when corporate hears this phone call, you may not have a job tomorrow.
Ma'am, I happen to be one of the...
you happen to be one of them, huh?
I happen to be one of them.
No, that's what you started to say. I don't think so.
Let me tell you something, ma'am. I got these hopheads who call themselves diabetics coming into my place.
Well, I have a daughter-in-law that's a diabetic, and I know you don't play around with people that are like that.
Well, you know something, lady? You know what? I don't believe you.
Oh, you don't believe me? How about you meet me somewhere and I'll prove it to you?
What are you going to do? I'm a guy.
No, I didn't say what was I going to do.
Well, you're going to bring your husband? Is that it?
I don't need a husband.
Wait a second. Wait a
minute.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Shirley, you're an American. You're a half-breed of some kind. Every American eats
bologna. Oh, I'm a half-breed?
Yeah, you're a half-breed.
I'll show you half-breed.
Yeah, I bet you will.
I'll show you half-breed.
Thanks for calling, Miss Whirlpool Appliance.
Oh, you wish, honey.
You know something? I have an employee that I caught shooting up some of this stuff. And he says, oh, I'm a diabetic. How do I know it's not smack?
You have employee applications? Why don't you try looking on them?
What's an employee? What do you mean?
Don't half the applications say, do you have medical problems? Yes, they do. Why don't you try looking at them? I don't look at those.
Why should I look at those?
Oh, you just hire anybody out of the blue, and if they say they're a diabetic, you don't believe them,
Because you find out if they're diabetic or not. You're not going to be just firing them because they're a hophead.
That is a middle management problem. That's not mine. And if somebody says I need to go to the bathroom,
remember, you're part up there with corporate.
You know,
remember?
So your daughter's a diabetic. Prove it.
Oh, I can prove it.
How do you prove it?
I can prove it. I can bring her back to your house with her needles.
How would you like that? So she can shoot up there at my house?
That's right. So she can shoot up all her insulin right in front of you. Would you like that?
You know, man,
would that make you feel good?
You and your
half-breed... Would that make you think twice about the lady's food you threw away?
You and your half-breed husband and your horse...
Oh, you know what? I ain't even married.
A nice
what
bologna
the hell
sandwich.
You got to say about that?
Well, I should have known that. You got a kid. You're not married. I should have known that. Yeah. She's got a kid, but she ain't married.
Hold on.
Next time you...
Okay, whoa. Did we get the 7-second on her? All right, well, the daughter came on and used HS...
Mr. Henry, I'm going to tell you something right now.
Hold on, Mr. Green.
No, you hold on. She called me an MF. She called me a fat HS-eating MF. And then she said, and that was the half-breed daughter.
Why do you call them half-breed? Because they've been in America only 189 years?
My family came over here in 1900 and... Well, all right, so it was 1903, so that's 100 years.
Right, so their family's been here longer.
All right.
All right, I got to take a break.
I just want you to know that if you're diabetic and you come to work for Fraser Foods, prove it.
Put it on the application, and if, Mr. Green, you are beholden to read those applications. People with diabetes have a severe physical... a problem, and just because they're using a needle on the job doesn't mean they're shooting horse. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Phil Hendry Show, it's time to... By the way, that was me doing the voice of Bob Green. Everybody who called was a unwitting but a lovely participant, non-paid, non-prodded or prompted. Now, walk down memory lane, and this is a letter from Madeline M. She says, Phil, I'm your most dedicated female 14-year-old fan. I love all of your characters, but particularly Jay Santos, the Dooleys, Margaret Gray, and of course Chris Norton. I love how Jay is into biting people on the fat part of their arm, and Margaret singing 1-2 and 1-2-3. She wants to hear Chris Norton dancing Sessy for their wives, teaching men how to dance Sessy for their wives, which included attaching bacon strips to his nipples. Anyway, here you go, Madeline. Chris Norton, Walk Down Memory Lane.
Okay, here we go.
I am too sexy for my love.
Okay, 2-3 for my love. 2-3 for
now I bend over, I grab my ankle. hold it. I hold it. I'm swinging my butthocks back and forth. Now I leap up. Now I'm doing jumping jacks. By the way, kill the music, Lance. Kill the music, Lance. I want to let everybody know these moves are copyrighted so that no one can steal them. Okay, are we on the air?
Yes, we're on the air. All right, so in other words...
Yeah, these moves are copyrighted.
You copyrighted these dance moves?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Okay, 2, 3.
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10. Okay, now I bend over, grab my ankles, and now I'm doing jumping jacks. 2, 3, 4. Now I do a leapfrog over a chair. Now I whip out a copy of the Harlequin Romance that women love to read, and now, boom, I got this clenched between my butt cheeks, and I'm holding the book between my butt cheeks.
Yeah.
I'll kind of hold that move for a while. Now here is something that is completely copyrighted, so people won't steal it. Hold, kill the music for a minute, Lance. Kill it. Okay.
Will you come on, man, all right?
What?
I got it, all right? So you're going to turn the pages of the book with your ass. Is that it?
I'm too sexy.
Okay, here we go.
My love.
Jeez.
Too sexy for my love.
2, 3, 4. Okay, here we go. All right, now I bend over and I got...
Forget bending over. I got all of that and I got the jumping jacks. Get to the part where you put the book between the cheeks of your rear end.
Okay. 2, 3, 4. Now the book is between the buttocks cheeks. And page turn.
I don't know how you're doing that, man. That's out.
Well, believe me, it takes a lot of... Okay, now I do stretches. I'm grabbing my ankle, I'm holding it. And as simple as that is, it's sexy.
Japan.
Now I'm up on my toes. I'm eating a peach, which is very suggestive, and I let the juice drip down. As crazy as this sounds, a lot of women like this next move, the hula hoop move. Here I go.
Okay.
Then I have two major grand final moves. Here comes the first one. Now I'm spanking myself with a hairbrush. Now I'm slapping myself with a belt. Okay, here comes the next move. 2, 3, 4. Ow. All right, I just did the splits over an egg and I broke it open. 2, 3. Now I'm attaching bacon strips to my nipples with clothes pegs. And now I'll do a somersault over an open watermelon. Now I pretend, this is a move a lot of women like, I'm pretending I'm a dog peeing on a fire hydrant and I'm...
Okay.
Well, what, you did that?
That's fine, turn your...
Lance, turn it off. What? What?
I pretend I'm a dog peeing on a fire hydrant.
These are all copyrighted moves, okay?
Well, the cats are going to steal those.
But you don't let me slap the side of my hips like Tracy Partridge playing the tambourine. So I do this woo, you know?
Uh-huh.
And the other thing that I do, a lot of the women out there... Oh, here it is. Yeah, I'm having a somersault of an open watermelon.
Forget about it, man.